I'd like to talk about something Minyana the Ema. Indian of Sirius the Ema as we move up toward Shavuot. Two small errors. One is famous point about Shavuot, which is that of all the Yomim Tovim, Shavuot is the only one which has no date in the calendar. The Gemara says that Shavuot doesn't always fall on the same day. We're used to Shavuot that falls on the 6th of Sivan. That's because our calendar is a set calendar. But in the times of Chazal, where the calendar was dependent on the moon, on people seeing the Molad and seeing the new moon, that you could have sometimes the Chodesh was Molad, sometimes it was Chasar, and the date of Shavuot could change. So how did they know which day was Shavuot? Wasn't the 6th of Sivan. So they counted 49 days from Pesach, and you counted wherever that ended, wherever the 50th day was, that's when Shavuot was. Come to Sukkot, Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they have dates on the calendar. We know when they are because there's a Seder of Zmanim, Lemoyadim, Lashonim, Lemoyadim. There's a set date. Shavuot doesn't have a date. So how do you work it out? You tailor on counting Omer. Interessant to that, sorry. So why should that be that Shavuot is the only time without a date? Another interesting Yara is the Yom Tov of Shavuot, the name Shavuot. Why is the Yom Tov of Shavuot Shavuot? We describe the holy Yom Tov as the Yom Tov of weeks, not a Yom Tov of weeks. The Yom Tov is the shortest Yom Tov we have. It's one day long, 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. We have a 2 day Yom Tov and Dos Nidos. It's finished. Why weeks? Because we counted weeks to get there. Call it Chag HaYomim, because we counted 49 days. What's Shavuot? And the Emes is Stam, if you think about it. We say we're counting days and we're counting weeks. If there was a long period, the truth is even the Sirus Ha'ina is longer than just one month. Would it make sense to start Sirus Ha'ina and after 30 days we'd say Hayoim Shloshim Yoim Shehem Chodesh Echod La'ina? Would that make sense?
No.
Why not? Because Chodoshim a Chodesh means something. The reason why there's a Chodesh is because there's a new moon that was Mischadesh, and you can't count a Chodesh if you're not referring to a moon. The moon wasn't Mischadesh. You started Sefirot Ha'Omer in the middle of a month. You're now 30 days later. That's not a Chodesh. A Chodesh is because it starts with Chodesh Alavon. What is a Shavua? Where do Shavuos come from? Where does the concept of a week come from? In Seder Briyas Ha'Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days, and that's why Shabbos is a Kedushas Shabbos, because Shabbos is the Yom HaShvi. And therefore Shavuot are Shavuot because they come from a Shabbos, Pesach Shabbos. Because it's a real week. A week it has mashmaot, has meaning. So when we count weeks, Hayom, says Shloshav, Esrim, Avov, Esrim, Yom. Why is it Shloshav Shavuot? It's not Shabbos Shavuot. It's 21 days. It's 3 times 7 days. But they're not real weeks. And not only that, we're going to call the whole Yom Tov Al Shem Osam Shavuot. Sorry. Those are the 2 hours I'd like to speak about, and then move on to something very interesting about when we start Sefirot Ha'Omer, famous discussion between the Baisusim and the Chachamim, and we'll focus on that, try and work out a little bit about these Baisusim, and hopefully we'll remember at the end to get back to these 2 questions of why does Shavuot not have a date, and why do we consider it counting weeks, and rename the Yom Tov based on those weeks. So, as we know, when we start counting Sefirot Ha'Omer, Mimachos HaShabbos states in Pasuk. Kum Chazal Mitamas Sefirot from Sinai, and with various proofs from the Pasuk itself, that what we mean here is not the normal translation of Shabbos, which means Shabbos Bereishis, Shabbos, miracle Shabbos. It means, in this instance, it means Yom Tov. It doesn't really mean Shabbos, it means Yom Tov. So, Mele Mimachos HaShabbos, after Shabbos, after the first day of Yom Tov, first day of Pesach, that's when you start Sefirot Ha'Omer. As for us, because we have Sefirot Ha'Omer. But the Baisusim, who are kofrim the Torah Shabbal Peh, they only accept Torah Shabbichsav. And because they only accept the written Torah, and they don't accept the Torah Shabbal Peh, everything that is orally transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu, including Yud Gimel Midos, Shatirin Nidreshes them, how one extrapolates dealing from the Torah, they don't accept any of that. They just take the Chumash face value, and they translate all the dealing of the Torah based on the way it appears to them. Mimachos HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, means Sunday morning, or actually Motzei Shabbos. So they count Sfirut Ha'Oma always from a Sunday, which means that they always have Shavuot on a Sunday. So this is predictable. You can book your Shavuot holiday, they shall not as many people go away to Shavuot to go to the Pesach, but you know, it's always on a Sunday. When this Machlokes was going on for a long time, the Gemara says, Menachos Samachay, Nitzvah Lohem Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. One day Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai met with the Rakhutim, and he said, no, what's to talk that way? Well, Mazik, well, why are you counting on a Sunday? Why do you start on a Sunday? What's chatting? What is the Vaisusim answer? The Gemara says, most of them have nothing to say, but there was one old man at the back who started making a big grashkin to Gizok, first him Gizok. He said, you know why? You think he's saying? Because the person says, not for Shabbos, for Shishah. No. Moshe Rabbeinu oyhei Yisrael hoyo. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews. And there was a big problem with Shavuot. Were you ever in Eretz Yisrael for Shavuot, keeping one day? I don't wish it on anybody. You go you stay up at night. You go to the kitchen in the morning. You done shachrit. You have your meal. Mincha, ma'ariv, it's gone. Finished. Where's Shavuot? Before you know it. It's a shvach holiday. It's a shvach yom. The Moshe Rabbeinu oyed Yisrael oyo. The Moshe Rabbeinu had this idea. So let's always have Shavuot on a Sunday. Start counting on a Sunday. You'll have Shavuot on a Sunday. Shavuot on a Sunday. You get it together with Shabbat. You have a nice long weekend. Don't say that. But Mela, that's why we count on a Sunday. What does he say? Shaita Shemaila blessed. This is special. Moshe Rabbeinu was not an oyed Yisrael. You're wrong. I says, I'll prove it to you. How do I know? How long does it take to get from Har Sinai to Eretz Yisrael? Achad oso yoim mechayiv derech haseir. It's an 11-day journey. How long did it take him? 40 years. That's an oyev Yisrael. And drink the harum and mitvot al tzikyon. What's that? Whose side is he on? The Gornish Bereid, Moshe Rabbeinu is oyev Yisrael. You're completely wrong. The Gemara there, Mamshich, with all the real riders, the droshes from the psukim that prove that it's really not the Seshav. Or whoever we quach here, between the old by Susi sage and the Avdur Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. Machlokes was, to Moshe Rabbeinu Oyev Yisrael, Hoyo, to Mishta Oyev Yisrael. And if you heard this Machlokes, you'd be surprised here, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai is the one who says, Moshe Rabbeinu Nishto Enkel Oyev Yisrael. What's to that? Now, besides with these two Yisrael, the Machlokes in between the by Susi and us, whether or not you're Mekabal Teresh Barter, we are, they're not. Whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu Oyev Yisrael, Hoyo, we hold he wasn't, they hold he was. There's doch another Machlokes. The Ike Machlokes. Where did the Sukkim come from? Them, together with Sukkim, Talmud Vices, they were all Talmidim of Antignus Ishtoichain. Antignus Ishtoichain of it says a Mishnah, Altiu Kavodim Amsham Shetarab Amnath the Kabul Praf. Don't serve the Rebbeim Yishlelim in order to get Tzcha. Somehow, I never understood how, but somehow, they were at the back of the shirt and they came out with a Mashmo, Sama Atin Yishtokin Oilam. Yishtokin Oilam. There's only Olam Azeh. There's no Olam Abos. And Meila, they were Kaifa and Tirish about that. And Meila, they were Kaifa and Tirish about that. Does that follow?
No.
It's a little hard to work out. I suppose you could technically find a connection. They didn't believe in Olam Abos. And the Chumash isn't so Mufurish about Olam Abos, but Mishnah is too Mufurish. So they couldn't deal with the Mishnah, so they just, they chucked the whole set out. Could be. It could be, I have a feeling there must be a much deeper connection between these two Nekudas that the Vaisusim are Kofrim. They're Kofrim Olam Haba, and they're Kofrim Teresh Balteh. And those two are very, very closely connected, and that's what I'd like to work out today. Why those two are connected, and that'll actually help us understand the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Let's look at a concept. The concept of Kedima. The chashivus of something being before something else. You find a Moshe Pesukim. The Torah says, Hashem kononi reishis darki kedem mifonim me'od. The Torah is misbara. You know what's so great about Torah? Hashem kononi reishis darki. Hashem created me, Rashi says, that before he created the world. You know what's so special about Torah? Because Torah preceded the creation of this world. That's not just the Pesukim initially. It's all over in Chazal. You find out, I want to talk about how gewaldig the Torah is. It was given so and so many generations even before the world was created. It was written so many years before. Oh, gewaldig. It's a childish thing then. I came first. You came first. I was here first. You were here first. We're both there. So what's the advantage that you came first? The Torah was there first. Why is that so important? Why does that change how we understand Torah? Because Torah came before the world. Nemesis, agrees to say, when we talk about something coming beforehand, it means that that was in place and that existed before the other thing was created. So if you have something here and you bring something else along, then obviously this is coming to serve that. Because that was here already. That can't be created for something that doesn't exist. So when we say something was first, we mean that its purpose is primary. Dugma l'tava, an example is a phrase. You have an office, and in the office you have somebody who the office was built for, and he works there. So you come in, and you meet, you're in the office, you meet him in the office. Who else do you meet in the office? When you come through the door, there's a security guard. Right, as you walk through, he either frisks your bag, or frisks you, or just gives you a smile, depends whether you live here or there. It's wrong. And you go through it, so you pass him, and then you come inside. There's two people in this building. One works here, and the other works here. First one is the lawyer whose office it is. The second is the security guard who's guarding the building. What's their relationship to this room, to this building? Very simple. The lawyer had a practice before they built the building, before they bought the building. Because he had a need, therefore the building was acquired or built for that purpose. So who came first? He came first. He came first means he was there and the building is here to service him. But when we talk about the security guard, then by definition, I don't know who was born first or who was created first, but essentially who was first in this relationship? The building was first. Because you had a building, therefore you needed the guard. They're both there today. But if you want to know who's Ikka, who came first? Well, the security guard, the building came first. Well, the owner, he came first. The building comes to serve him. Let me take another dugma, because understanding this dugma will be an introduction to our look at Torah being Kedem Lebriyas Olam. So two Olamas, yeah, we know that there are two Olamas. There's Olam Hazeh and there's Olam Haba. What comes first? Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba? The minig is Amigita Duch Olam Hazeh first. It's Fun Olam Hazeh, Gaten and Olam Haba. If anyone ever does the opposite, it'd be quite a sensation. Somebody comes from Olam Haba to Olam Hazeh, it's quite unusual. But Derech Klal, a person's born into Olam Hazeh, and we spend as long as we have to over here, and then we move on to Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh comes before Olam Haba. In reality, which came first? The Pasuk says, Kivakoh Hashem Tzur Olamin. The name Koh, Ayud, and then Ahei, represents the name of Hashem with which He created Olamim. He created worlds. Which worlds? Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. The Yud bara Olam Haba, Ubehei bara Olam Hazeh. So why is it Yud, then Hei? It should be a Hei Yud. It should be Hei. Hei Yud. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. The Hei is the Olam Hazeh. Why does the Yud come before the Hei? Teretz is because in reality, what does Hashem create first? We imagine, we made Olam Hazeh. And you come to Olam Hazeh, and you've got Torah, and mitzvahs, and other good zachen, and then afterwards, it comes with a cheshbon, and he says, no, the version, now it's time to pay. Or the version comes to him and says, no, it's time to pay. One of the two. So we're finished with Olam Hazeh, you've got to find the payment. So get the machum shnel on Olam Haba. You go and sort out an Olam Haba to fill in the problems of Olam Hazeh. Is that how it happens? Isn't it Amchal? And Ramchal talks about the essential reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. What was the purpose of Olam Hazeh? So, Ramchal, the Emes, Ramchal is in Daf Tunis, in Derech Hashem, in Sharon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a rotzon to be native. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to benefit someone. And so he created a neshama, a nishma selikam imal. And the purpose of that creation, says the Ramchal, was Lehis Aneg Al Hashem Velehenu Smiziv Shchinosa. The Rebbein Shalom knew that the greatest pleasure that Shaykh is for a neshama to be mistabit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vekas, connection, Olam Haba. And that is greater and deeper than any pleasure we have in Olam Hazeh. And there you dig a hanon. Where, how can you have a neshama that's mistabit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You have to have an Olam of neshamas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an Olam of neshamas. And he created neshamas. and he was ready to take those neshamas and put them into the olam haneshamas to be nen and miziv shchinatay le'ad u'netzach nesachim forever. A myriad of gehanot. There was one problem. If you're given something that you didn't work for, it has nothing to do with you. You cannot truly experience pleasure of something if you have no connection to it, if it's not something that's yours. Reitza Adam the Kav Shaloi, person prefers one of his cabin, one thing that he worked for, something that he built. You go to somebody's house and he sees all a crock and a crank on the table. And you know, but he built it. At the time he couldn't get anything better and he still sits in his study on this. It's a bizarre, but Reitza Adam the Kav Shaloi, he built it himself. We become connected to something that we're worked for and created. So Kadosh Baruch Hu thought, well, I'm going to take people and dump them in an olam haneshamas. They'll enjoy it, but it's not the same. It's not theirs. They haven't created it. So the Rishon have to make them a world where they have the ability to create their own shlemus, to create the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a choice. Either you do connect or you don't connect. It's got to be the type of world where things are very unclear. But it's not pasha to choose Ruchnius or Gashmius. That's Olam Hazeh. We'll put them there for a while. Give them Nisyonus. Let them choose. If they choose Lehistavik, if they choose a connection, then we'll take them out of Olam Hazeh, peel away the goof, and you have just Neshama, who's created the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now Lenetzach enjoys that connection, Olam Habo. That's the tachlis of Olam Hazeh. So what came first? Olam Habo. And Ba'etzim was an Olam Habo already, everything was already. But the problem was, you need to prepare for Olam Hazeh. So that's the Rebbeinu created Olam Hazeh afterwards to go through to Olam Habo. In experience, L'maisa and Olam HaMaisa, we land in Olam Hazeh first and then we go to Olam Habo. Although even that isn't true. Because the Neshamas are there, Tachos Kisakovit, even before they come down to Olam Hazeh. But the point of our experience is Olam Hazeh to Olam Habo. But essentially, what's Koidim? What comes first? Olam Habo is there. Olam Hazeh comes to solve the problem of Olam Habo. And that is the essence of our Nisayon. If we know that, we'd know everything. And we think of a Dugma, a philanthropist who finds out that there's a country, nothing that he finds out, it's a disease-ridden country, and most kids don't make it past 25, 30. By then, the person, they die out from diseases. And the Shluchas Dom in a terrible place. Backwards, with no facilities. And he decides he's going to bring a whole group of kids, he's going to bring them over, 14, 15, 16 year olds, he's going to bring them over to America. It's a very good idea, but you know, you're going to drop them in the middle of New York. You'll have another Harlem. But they'll end up in some sort of slum somewhere. You can't just take a guy out of the jungle and dump him in New York. You won't have to stop. So it's a certain, you know what? Take them for a few years. Take them somewhere else, let them acclimatize themselves to Western culture, and then you can bring them back to New York. So, say that. So they take them for 3 years, and they take them to Vienna, and they tell them, look, listen guys, whole group of you, 50 kids, this will pay you, your food will be taken care of, your hostel will be taken care of, we'll give you pocket money, whatever you need, and you prepare yourselves for your life in New York. What would happen? What do you imagine would happen? I suspect there'd be two groups. One group come there and they didn't dream existed. There's discos and there's pubs and there's places to see and there's trams to ride on. The chavot, you come out of Zachen, they never dreamt of this. Immediately. They do a bit of work during the day, they schlep their head to have a bit of money. It's one group. The other group, they say, 1 second, we're not here forever. We're here for a few months. 3 years. Is that long enough? What's written in America? What language do they speak? English. We better start learning English. So they're busy learning English. You need a profession. What should we study? So start studying at least the basics that when they get to America, they need to go to college. So they're busy studying from morning to night. And when they save up money from their work on the side, they don't waste it. They change it into dollars. Slowly, they're working on it. And the Andrew Hefer are having a Givaldi guitar. So they're both out till 12 at night. These guys are having a hacking, and maybe these guys are working on their studies. On the 12:30 at night when they meet in the dorm, what happens? They cook him, they say, shy or eye, they're screaming at each other. And each side holds the other side is absolutely not. It's Meshuggah. What are you wasting your life for? They tell the students. You sit all day, you're learning English. How much of the local language do you speak? You go out in the street, you can't even make yourself heard. Nobody can't even get directions going on. We've picked up half the local, we speak the language here. We already know how to speak. Well, do you know what you're missing? Do you know what you're missing? You're so busy with your books all day that you don't even dream what pleasures there are outside. You're so primitive. The Hanoi, they try to be. They say, we can't describe to you fully the pleasures of this city. You just can't imagine the geschmacksy. And you sit all day wasting your life when the Andrews on the street, Sheikh and Shabela. It lasts you for 3 years. And what's going to happen when we get there? Who says, well, if we go there, we'll trust it from these actions. It's a completely different attitude. Everything changes. Are you here forever? Or are you here just passing through? If we know we're only here passing through, if we attack it just apparently, then like the Chofetz Chaim, we need the currency of there, we need the language of there, we need the skills for Eilam Avon. That's what mitzvahs, teirachdish, it's a whole different cook. Because Eilam Hazeh comes first, but not essentially. Essentially everything for Eilam Avon. Now let's have a look at Torah. What comes first? Torah or the Bria? Generally, if you ask somebody, what is the Torah? They'll tell you Torah is the Chneiridig. Ah! It's divine wisdom. And there's a philosophy that is mamish, such as Agrisa tells us. What do people say? So look, Akash Baruch created the world, a very perfect world. You know, in the decent places on this planet, if you go into the jungle, the world's still a fine place to live in. There's a remarkable ecology. Balances itself out. It's evolving. There's only one problem with this world. What is that? Human beings are shreklach kli. You have two human beings and the whole world's not big enough for them to shed. Person is so great, so the main human beings start controlling the world and they destroy the balance and they're the you need them out of control. Stay for a long, they'll blow the whole place up if they had half a chance. So you have men. So you have to give them rules. You have to have regulations. They have to be alei siltoch, mitalei signoi, mitalei sinof, and they'd work themselves to death. That nom shmir Shabbos, and they'd forget where they're going. That nom yom tzeivim. When Aziz baits a gate men adoch, the 613 mitzvahs. They go through all 613 mitzvahs, and they tell you the purpose is to solve the problem that humanity had in living in this world. Because if a human being was left to his own resources, he'd become an egocentric, selfish animal, and a dangerous animal at that. So what do you do? He needs controlling, and he becomes a social creature, and he works not just for himself, but for the benefit of his family, his community, his country, and ultimately the whole globe. He gives the whole thing. But it's just a grisa toast, because that's not how it happens. It's not that there was a Bria, there was a world with problems, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote a book to solve those problems. It wasn't. Who brought Alma? The Torah came first. What did it say in the Torah before there was a Bria? It said the first stage, the Olam Haba stage, just like Olam Haba came before Olam Hazeh. The Torah was written kiviyochel in the state in which there's still an Olam HaNeshamos and Neshamos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to create those Neshamos in a way that they can connect to Him. It's Anegal Hashem, the Lenis Mitzvah Shkinasoi. There are 248 ways that a neshama can connect to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. There are 365 in Yonim that disconnect a neshama from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it said in that Torah. It said the concept of how a neshama relates to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But then the Hakadosh Baruch Hu says that that's no good. Because then there'll be an olam haneshamos, and they won't have the tanug of having bechira, of having chosen and created that connection. So we have a problem. We have Torah, but Torah has a problem. How are they going to challenge a human being? How are there going to be opportunities to connect or disconnect? So to solve the Torah's problems, we create Olam Hazeh. And you look in the Torah and you see there's a connection called matzah. So you create a physical matzah, which people either eat or don't. Or Rahman and Son, there's a disconnection called Loshon Hara. So when you create a person, you create him with sasayim, with a lashon, with the ability to speak, and to speak negatively about the people, and you give a person a choice. Will we destroy? Will we destroy? There's a connection called Shabbos Kodesh, that in Homnavilti you make a world, that makes a world where a human being has the ability to do malacha. And the fact that there are 39 malachas in Olam Hazeh is because those are oifanim of Shmir Shabbos. Yistaka b'yiraisa u'bro'alma. And that's why a person is born of parents, so that there should be an opportunity for kibbutz ha'im. There is nothing in Olam Hazeh that was created other than as a means to getting to Olam Abo. That's the whole tachlis. That's what we mean by yistaka b'yiraisa u'bro'alma. It's not a punkt, it was a blueprint. It's a blueprint in that it's the concept of what you want to achieve. Before you build the buildings, you go to the architect to draw the blueprint. But before the blueprint, there's somebody out there who knows what he wants to achieve with this building. And he goes to the architect and he says, I want to achieve A, B, C, D. I want to have so and so much space. I want it to look this way. I want it to be at this height. I want it to impress. I want it to be comfortable. Whatever he wants it to be. He tells that to the architect. That's the Yistaka b'yiraisa u'bro'alma. Torah comes before the Bria, not after the Bria. First philosophy is the Bria comes before the Torah. The Torah is here to solve the Bria's problems. The emes is Yistaka b'yiraisa u'bro'alma Torah kodma l'olam. That tells us that in Olam Hazeh we have to measure our understanding of Torah based on something else, not on Yon Olam Hazeh and Yon Torah. It's a bit like Shtel Lechfa, they build a huge power station. Huge power station. A nuclear power station is giving supply in the whole city the size of London. And in the centre they build a big tall tower where there's a control tower and you can look out and see things, and there it's full of buttons and Sigivaldic. And the person who runs this has a nephew, a 13-year-old nephew. And his nephew hears he's going to see his uncle's big power plant. And he comes and what does he see? A bunch of dirty grey buildings. Nothing's happening. Gorgeous, sir. Nothing. Chimneys, nothing inside you. And then his uncle takes him to the center, to the tower, and they go up. Oh, there's celebrity, there's light, there's buzzing, and there's buttons you can press. It's already exciting. He says, shh, wow. He says, uncle, they built all that power station just to power this little tower. Shit. And this is what controls that, not the opposite. And the nafka mina is that if you understand that, then you don't dare press a button in the wrong place, because you know that what you're doing here affects there. Olam Hazeh is just the tower, just the control center of Olam Abba. And that's why we understand that every small button that we press makes a remarkable difference in Olam Abba. You know, you look at Torah HaKadosh based on these two philosophies. The philosophy that says the Torah is for Inyan Olam Hazeh, it's to improve our lives here in all sorts of different ways. It's a very nice theory. And you know, in general, there's some sort of Tamei HaMitzvos that you can explain. But if you think about the details of mitzvahs, it becomes a pella. The Torah should dictate to me exactly how I should rest on Shabbos. You can tell somebody that there's a purpose in Kibbutz Avein, but the Torah should tell me what constitutes Kavod, what constitutes Merit. The whole legal system from Torah, the Adab of the Chush and Mishpat from Torah, that hasn't changed from the same time to Moshe Rabbeinu until today. Why don't we get a little more progressive? Surely the needs of a society that's out there in the Midbar, or a society that's an agricultural society in the times of an Eretz Yisrael, or the medieval France with Rashi, or today in Western society, well, it's always the same. If you're talking about Yonah Ilam Hazard, the attack is very strange. It doesn't make sense. You can have a general concept, but no detail. But when it comes to understanding that what we're doing in Olam Hazeh affects Olam Abba, why should that change? Because the Indian and Olam Hazeh has changed. Torah is Netzach. When the Baisusin denied Olam Habo, if you don't believe that there's a world out there that you're changing, if you don't believe that there's Netzach, then the only meaning there can ever be in a mitzvah is because somehow it's going to make me chris. I'm going to have an experience here that will be uplifting, something that I can put my finger on and experience in Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh. You open a Shulchan Aruch and you think, how can he tell me? It doesn't make sense. There cannot be a Torah Shabbat there. It's like getting into that tower in the middle and you don't believe there's a power station. There can't be rules of how I press the lights the way it's good for me. Okay, don't press them all in one go because you'll have a short circuit. There's rules you can have, but the details don't make sense. If by susim with kaifa in Olam Haba, automatically the kaifa in Torah Shabbat there, which is the detail of the mitzvah. The general concepts, the klonim of Torah Shabbat, that they can deal with, but not the prot and not the limited. Tzviras Ha'ima, one of the anonymous Tzviras Ha'ima, has chat that there's a new Seder of Zman. There's a new frame of time that we are creating by counting these days. Normally, a week starts with a Shabbos. Shabbos Bereishis, the Shabbos of Bereishis. So you start after the Shabbos, you start a new week. But there's a new Shabbos, not the Pasuk. There's a new Shabbos that is the first day of Pesach. It's a Shabbos where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that not everything in Olam HaZeh is what it looks like. It looks like it's self-contained. There's Nissan. There's a Rebbeinu Shlomo who comes and changes things. There's a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a new Shabbos. Mimochras HaShabbos Tisperu. From that Shabbos, you can start new weeks. It's Shavuot. A whole new Seder of Zman. We have Shavuot that don't fit into the Seder HaOlam. Because Torah does not fit into Seder HaOlam. Torah has no explanation in terms of Olam HaZeh. It's Shaykh Biyom. That's why Taka we call the Yom Kippur Shavuot. And that's why Shavuot can't fit into any calendar, any Seder's man. It has its own Seder's man. It's Me'eva. It's Shavuot. That's the name of Shavuot that describes it. It's these new Shavuot. That's Givaldi for us. But there's one group of people who can't deal with that. The Beit Sussin. What? A Torah that's not in Seder's man. No, everything is about Olam HaZeh. Moshe Rabbeinu Oyev Yisrael Oyev. It's all for our benefit. It's to have a long weekend. If that's who you call an Oyev Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't that type of person. He wasn't interested in the practical, technical, physical benefits of Yisrael to teach them a few lessons in Musa. He dragged them around the Midbar for 40 years. Yeah, I'm late in Oyev Yisrael, and he's taken Oyev Yisrael. Your type of Oyev Yisrael he wasn't. So when the Stukim come to count, they're also happy to count weeks. Of course there's a Torah. Who's got this Mishol Che'alf Givaldi Gezachet? But fit it into my Sunday. Fit it into Oyev Yisrael. Our Torah is something that's mechadish, it's me'evin in Yonah Olam HaZeh. We start a new Kriya, a new Yetzirah, a new Sfirah Salimah that brings us back into Yeshua.